Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. This is a good word, Lord. This is your word. Move your servant out of the way that you can have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Thank you for the most glorious opportunity that we have to give your word that others may be convicted and others may be comforted. Being selfish, Lord, I pray you will comfort me. But if I need conviction, convict me. May we all be different when we finish the word today. In Jesus' most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
Heard an amen. You know, the visiting turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I hope you have your pencils and paper ready. We will follow up on getting some of these things in the bulletin and some of these things on the web. But it would be good for you to write a lot of these down as we're getting ready to go through the book of John so that you can put them in specific places and verses that we're going to give you. So when we reach one, you will know and I don't have to keep reminding you what's going on at that particular time. Because, you know, who knows how long the book of John is going to be. We have until rapture.
Yes, sir.
The book of John. There are a lot of things that we try to teach here at Antioch. The Sunday morning class, the Wednesday night class. We put in your bulletin 10 questions for 10 weeks about what the Bible has to say and a couple of little tricky questions in there. So in your bulletin today, you have all 100 questions in your bulletin. If you can't answer all 100 of those questions, you need to join the class. Because if you're going to be at Antioch and you're going to serve, it is good to know what you believe and what we believe. What the Bible says. The biggest problem with many churches is they got many people there that don't know what the church even believes. Because if they did, they wouldn't be there. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So jump on those 100 questions, see how many you can answer. It surprised me, and I'm teaching the class. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light. Is that a lot of was this is?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
was basically added in the text. To help us understand here in English. But they are direct statements. Not meaning that in the past there was a God. In the past they were together. In the past he existed. It means now. It means tomorrow. It means yesterday. God. Can I get an amen? God.
Yes, sir.
God. Now, I don't care how you look at it, and I don't care how our brothers that believe in the Jehovah Witness faith and in the Mormon faith and in the any other kind of faith that shouldn't be a faith. It's very hard to get away from there being more than one God in verse 1. I mean, at best, there's two. In the beginning, come on.
Was
God. What's next?
And the Word.
And the Word was
with
God. Now, that is okay. There's no wrench in the machinery. But what's the third part of that verse? And the Word that was with God was God, and they was.
Yes, sir.
And anything that was Is. See, Jesus Christ is God. So we know there is a God, some other God, and we know that there's God, Jesus Christ. John says, I want to tell you about God. I want to tell you about what's going on with God. I want to tell you all about the one who was God, with God, from the very beginning, that there was a God, because there was no beginning of the God that he's with. You see, if you're going to go far enough back in evolution, you're going to have to find somebody that started this mess.
That's right. Come on. That's right.
In the beginning was God. Now, when we talk about in the beginning, what are we talking about in the beginning? If God that has no beginning, what are we talking about in the beginning? It's because God was before beginning.
Yes, sir.
So beginning's got to be dealing with time. Time was started for you and I, not God. He didn't get bored because there is no time. How can you get bored when you don't have time doing something? That's what's going to be so great in heaven. Oh, man, 1,000 years worshiping God, we're going to be bored. Nope. God is the eternal now. Can anyone understand what eternal now is? Mean there is no time. You can't have time to get tired when you can't spend time getting tired. So even in a whole evolutionary process, you got everything that is caused. Shall we read that? Spend a little time on God. Ooh, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Wow. Verse 3 throws a wrench in evolution. You know how you say that, Pastor? Easy. It says that everything that was caused, evolution, everything that was caused had a cause to be caused. Amen? Like, I be here because of my mom and dad. I am the cause of what they did. We'll leave it at that. So every cause has a cause. Pretty good, except there's a problem in evolution. You got to get to what caused the first cause. Kit. Because, you know, we know this period, we got this because it was caused by that period. And we got this period because it was caused by that period. And we got this period because it was caused by some gases. And we got, where did the gas come from? Got to find some guy eating beans or something. I don't know.
That's right. Come on. That's right.
Bean pie.
I love that.
So eventually got to get to the uncaused cause that caused everything that's caused. And in John 1:1, the uncaused cause that caused everything caused is God. Even the atom is not supposed to work. Everything about the atom repels itself. Neutrons, protons, electrons, all should push yourself away. But there's some kind of cosmic glue that the scientists, so we don't know why the atom holds together, is a cosmic glue. I tell you what holds it together. Everything that was made by the word that was with God and the word that was God. In the beginning, that God said, you stick together until I tell you to quit. See, the world is all mixed up when it comes to this God. They got to come up with something. If they don't want to believe in God started it all, they got to come up with something. And it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
You are really faithful. You are a faithful person. Believe that lie. You see, the world didn't begin with a big bang. It began with a big saying. let there be light.
Yes.
Now, they got one part right. They just put it in the wrong place. It's going to end with a big bang. When God tells the Adam, you no longer have to stay together, that's going to be a serious mushroom cloud. Because it's going to destroy everything that's been created up to that time by him. Except those that are in H-E double hockey sticks. He's going to protect that place. And then he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Who is that? Give me three letters. Who is that?
God.
Yes. Can anyone else get excited about this three-letter word with a capital G? God in the beginning. Now, I'm really amazed that you look at everything that has been created was created by that which was not created. So in John 1, you see who's introduced, Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the Word. Anybody want to fight me on that?
No, sir.
It doesn't matter. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know, man. I don't think God the Father's ever been here in the flesh. God has never taken on the flesh. God the Father. God the Holy Spirit, if I'm not mistaken, don't think he's ever taken on the
flesh.
Only one member of the Trinity. God the Son. Then, you know, it's so amazing that Jesus is introduced in chapter 1. But then you hit this other guy that's just kind of almost like he's just thrown in from nowhere. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. It's thrown in from nowhere. Don't think that we are even there. We're still overview. Mm-hmm. So don't get worried. We're going to walk verse by verse when we get ready to go. So, but right now we got to get to set up. Because the book of John is broken down into three different areas. Chapters 1 through 12, 13, excuse me, 1 through 12 is 3 years to take place. It took 3 years. 13 through 18, I say, most commentaries say 13 through 7. 13 through 18, I say, took one evening. And chapters 19, 20, and 21 took between 43 and 50 days. Okay? That's how you break it down. Jesus Christ, with God, is God, made all things, have all life in him, light of the world. Man, he's awesome. And then right in the middle of all that talk that we're going to get into and break down, woo, systematically, verse 6 pops up. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not the John who is writing the book. But there's another John. John the Baptist. Otherwise classified, better understood, John the Baptizer. And the Jews baptized all the time before Christ and before Christians. It was the proselyte. You could become a Jew by being baptized into the Jewish faith. So all of a sudden, here's this guy out there that is a prophet, baptizing people, but not in the Jewish faith. And they get a little uptight about this. You want to see something about John? There's several things about John that's really amazing why I believe he's introduced inside the book of John very quickly when he's talking about Jesus Christ. Because it's a proof that Jesus Christ is the Messiah when John is introduced. Turn with me to the last Old Testament book. The last Old Testament book is the Italian prophet. Malachi. Okay, y'all can say it incorrect and call it Malachi, but this is a church for all people. Got it? Malachi chapter 3. Can't hear you. Come on, respond to me. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Who do you think the forerunner is to the Messiah in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1? John the Baptizer.
Yes, sir.
John the Baptist. John the Baptist. When that man, the forerunner, shows up, soon the Messiah will come. Many of the prophets had a real bad situation going on. They understood all about what was going on with the prophecy, but they had a real bad misunderstanding about the timing of the prophecy because it was all based off of Daniel. And when the Jews asked Daniel, what does God say about the Jews? When Daniel asked God, what is your plan for the Jews? Daniel gave him a prophecy through the Holy Spirit about 70 weeks. 70 weeks. 70 groups of seven. And in that group of 77s, 483 years at the end of the 69th seven sets of weeks, the Messiah will be on the earth. Daniel predicted that. But what Daniel didn't do is what all other prophets in the Old Testament didn't understand, and that was, look at verse 5 and verse 6 in Malachi chapter 4. You got to go now. We got a lot of verses we got to deal with today. So many verses, so little time. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Bam, God goes quiet for 400 years. 400 years earlier, God gives a promise of John the Baptist that you see in the gospel where John the Baptist shows up. The last thing he says when he goes quiet is there's going to be the curse with the Messiah, because they didn't understand that there was a break in the prophecy between the 69th week of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel, because in Matthew it tells us that Christ came, he being the king of the Jews, and Galatians 3 tells us that he was the answer to the curse, to get rid of the curse. Revelation 21 verse 3 tells us, 3 through 5, and Revelation 22 verse 3 tells us that Jesus Christ was the answer to the curse, so that God don't have to curse you if you would listen to him between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel. Otherwise classified as the church age, you and I. There's only two times in the history of Scripture that God didn't give a time. One was Melchizedek. His name means after him it will come. And God had patience for 969 years before he brought the flood. Grace gives no time, but it is limited. The only other time God does not give us a timetable is the church age, because after the church age comes judgment, as it did with the flood. So praise be to God that we got a 69th and 70th week of the prophecy of Daniel break called the church. John the Baptist shows up. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Cannot hear you. Luke chapter 1. Everyone got Luke chapter 1?
Yes, sir.
There has been how many years of quiet since God spoke? The last time God spoke to us was the end of the first century. First of the second century. That's how we got much of the New Testament. Well, we should say all of the New Testament. And he's been quiet because you have the revelation. And when someone walks up to you and say, God gave me a new revelation, God said to me, just tell them, go take some indigestion. Go take something that eliminates that gas in your chest.
And acids.
For interjection. What is that word? Lord have mercy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Forget it. I'm preaching up here. Don't get me confused. I'm supposed to get you confused. Indigestion. Indigestion. I got a college graduate up here trying to help me out. Indigestion. Okay. Pray to God I never get it because I won't be able to tell the doctor what I got.
All I know is down in there.
It's down.
Burning my bosom.
You mean, what's that purple pill? Nexum? No, that's not the purple pill. Thylus, I know what thylus is. Nexium, isn't it? Thank you. No, I'm not asking that for me. She won't quit talking. Tell me what else I need. You need to learn how to say words faster. It's the truth, T-R-U-F-F. 400 years since Malachi 3:1's promise, I'm going to send a forerunner. Now, God was quiet from 400 B.C. to the first century. That's why you can't find anything in the Bible outside of the prophecy of Daniel about Greece. You can find about the whole kingdom of Babylon. You can find out about the whole kingdom of Persia. And that why we know about Persia is because that's why the wise men showed up. Believe this. Every generation between the time God quit speaking until John the Baptist came, all died. But Daniel had such an influence in Persia that he influenced all the wise men to remember the prophecy that the Messiah was going to be on the earth in 483 years from his prophecy. So they got on camels named Clyde. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's like the bean pie. Some of you won't. Read up on it later. And between 400 B.C. and the first century was the power of Alexander the Great. And since God was quiet, he never mentioned anything about that whole kingdom. And it wasn't written anywhere in the Bible. And then Rome took over. God spoke. We read all about Rome. Isn't God something?
Yes.
And what happened? Let me show you what happened. Luke chapter 1. That was in the days of Herod. This is Herod the Great. The one who kills John the Baptist was Herod the Tetrarch. God kills Herod the Great, the father of Herod the Tetrarch, because he was going to try to kill the Messiah. So Herod the Tetrarch was not that crazy about John the Baptist in the first place. There was in the days of Herod the king, Herod the Great, of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous. This is something I want all of you to check out. This is unbelievable. You know how many Christians think that things are going bad because they're sinning their lives? Now, sin will cause things to go bad in your life. And no doubt about it. But not all things that goes wrong in your life is caused by sin or your lack of faith. Elizabeth, Zacharias is going to have a son. 400 years later, after Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, God finds a couple, one a priest, one from Aaron. You put both their names together, Zacharias and Elizabeth, promise is remembered. God remembers his promise. Can I have an amen? And look at this. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and they were blameless. In other words, here is two righteous people with a bad circumstance. Anyone know what that circumstance is? Verse tells us they was childless. The worst thing that could happen to a Jewish woman was no child. Especially no son to pass down the name. Now here's two righteous people, blameless for God, walking in the light of God, righteous enough to walk into the Holy of Holies. And God gave them the worst circumstance, allowed them to have the worst circumstance that any family that's Jewish could have. Do you think God allows things to come in our lives because he wants to remind us that he has something good coming? You know what the good is sometimes? Just getting rid of the bad. Can I have? Come on, church. Talk to the pastor. My bad. So you're going to have a son. He's in the Holy of Holies. And you don't mess up in the Holy of Holies. You walk in with a rope tied around you. Because if you mess up, God's going to kill you right on the spot. And who's going to run in there and get you? Nobody can go in there. And so if you stand there a little long, they pull on the rope. If there's not a pull back, they can get a couple of guys. You got to pull him out of there. No one else could go in the Holy of Holies at that time. And they was wondering, why are you standing there so long? Wow, my boy was up there talking to an angel. Woo! He said, when the angel showed up, Zacharias got nervous. Anyone know why? Thought he had messed up. No oops clause in the Holy of Holies. No second chance. Let me try that again. Bam! You're going to have a son. You know what John, you know what, I'm just kidding, you know what Zachariah said? How do I know this? I'm old, and my wife, Elizabeth, is well stricken in years. Wouldn't dare call her old even in the Holy of Holies. Smart man. Boy, I knew what he knew. She's up there. How do I know that? You know why? I believe they had stopped praying. I believe they thought they was too old to ever have kids ever again. And gave up. And when the angel walked up and said, oh, you're going to have a boy. How do I know this? You asking Gabriel? I don't know about you with the angel. He shows a little attitude, doesn't he? Come on. You hanging out with God, you got a right to be a little bold. God gave me a message for you, bro. You're going to have a boy. How'd I know that? You ain't going to speak till you get this boy. That's a famous last word right there. For months, yes. Only thing my boy could do was that was his communication. And when the boy was born, they started talking about names. His up voice came back and said, we're going to name him John, the forerunner. to the Messiah. Guys, John 1 is introducing you to two of the greatest men, Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. Do you understand that John the Baptist is the only human being outside of Jesus Christ that was born a Christian? Can't hear you. The only man outside of Jesus Christ that was born a Christian is John the Baptist. I guess he was special. John 1, please. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Can I ask who that light is? Can I ask who that light is? Jesus. My Jesus. I pray your Jesus. I pray your Jesus. What an awesome God we serve.
Amen.
Man, we run out of time. Kind of quick at times. But it seems to be that way when you talk about Jesus. I don't think the enemy is too happy about this subject. All the things going on around us, around you. Guys, you want to come on up? My God is an awesome God. He reigns. He lives within my heart. I pray he lives in yours. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's no other God that's ever visited this planet, because there's no other gods. Only one way to the Father. That's the one who came in the flesh. You believe that? Let's change the world, Antioch. New day in an old way. Nothing new under the sun. Just a new way to say it. And I'm saying it to you right now. I'm sold out. And I love myself from Jesus. No greater subject in all the world. Can I get an amen?